Wow, wow, wow.
We've been shaken to our cores with this guest.
Yeah, he is one of our faves. He's been there since the very beginning of this podcast, the inception of the podcast.
This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
It's a bonus episode with a very special guest, Yusong Lu.
And this is Anna.
And Shireen. And he's here too.
Hey!
What a monster.
We talk about getting into podcasting, immigrating from China, and so much more. It's
being
so
fun. Insecure in a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, mental health in a nutshell. Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
We started. We've started.
We've started. It's another bonus episode of Ethnically Ambiguous.
This one with my nemesis, just joking.
Could
you imagine?
Someone...
What if we had like a war?
But we've known this person for years because he.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like an intern. No, I'm just kidding. No, I thought he was an intern when we were at Feral. AKA.
That's not years. Maybe like 2 years.
But he's known us since the beginning of our podcast life.
That's true. Yusong has been around since Dai Won.
Our infancy.
Dai Won Yusong.
Yeah. Yusef. We started.
Yusong. What did I say Yusef?
Did I say Yusef?
No, I said you. Wait, I just confused myself. Did I say Yusef when I first said...
We had Yusef Roach on yesterday.
Oh, my God. One of my college professors used to call me Yusef all the time. But no, I don't think you did.
Right. Yusef yeah. Lu? That's crazy. I just lost my mind for a second.
Yeah,
okay.
I saw you just had a little
Yusong
glitch.
Roach. I don't know who you are. Yeah, you were there since day one. You booked us on... Whiting Wongs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great episode.
Dan yeah. Harmony and
Dan
Jessica
Harmony?
Gao. Is that not what it is? What if I didn't know what his name was? I get him and Harmony Korine
Dave
mixed
Harmony,
up all the time.
Yeah.
I thought it was Dan Korine.
Yeah.
Harmony
that,
Harmony.
The one that made that one movie with Fat McConaughey. No. Sorry, he's not that. Sorry, he's not fat. I don't
just kidding,
that
I know who he is.
But Yusong, we're already talking about him. He's like right here. But Yusong has been.
Yusong's in the room.
He's in the room. I also
but we haven't
really
turned his mic on yet.
Yeah, he's on mute. But I really do. You've been one of my favorite people consistently since I've met you. You are so genuine and nice. And you had me on your show with Rebecca Steinberg, who's mm-hmm. also been with our podcast since infancy, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe she was like just hired like the week
yeah,
we were like
she really
going
was.
On.
Yeah, we were both newbies. But you have a podcast with her called Worst Case Scenario, and I was on it last September. And I talk about having like, or the fear of having imposter syndrome. And it's a really good episode. You should listen to it. It's called The Young Pope, but like pronounced with like, or spelled with J-U-N-G, like Carl Jung. It's very clever. Very clever.
I don't get it.
It's very clever. But I really appreciate you as a person and you as like a podcaster and just like what, because you're very open about mental health, which I really admire, but also know that it's part of the mental health, or it's part of my mental sickness to not shut up about it.
That's a Yusong Roach joke.
Yeah.
I mean, Yusong Roach. Damn it, Yusef Roach joke.
Yeah, I was calling it back to yesterday, but also it's very true.
I literally just called him a Yusong Roach joke. Wow.
I'll get that on a t-shirt. Am I allowed to talk yet?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
You've been introduced, kind of.
Okay. I mean, it was...
Actually, the show is us just talking about you while you're in the room.
Oh,
didn't you get
the memo? Truly my worst nightmare. Like,
did
just
you get the memo? He's still on mute, right, Zach?
No, oh, man. Yeah, right before we started recording, I asked Shireen how she was doing, and we both shared this moment of like, so sad, and I don't know when it's going to go away, and it's always infinite, and yeah. I don't know. It was just like, I've never felt my emotions so accurately mirrored by someone else so immediately.
Yeah,
you guys should
I haven't
just
seen
try
you.
Weed.
I haven't seen you in months, and you looked right at me like, how are you doing? And I just took a moment, and I said, sad, still sad.
Yeah.
So there's no point in lying.
I started laughing like a
hysterically.
Hysterically, but only out of like pure overwhelming empathy.
Yeah. No, I knew you were like, she understands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks for being here. I've wanted you on for a minute. I'm just bad at reaching out.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I was like, he can't be on our show. He's my enemy. I'm just joking.
That's
that
how we
happen.
Left. That's how we left Starburns, because of you.
Oh wow.
You song.
Not yeah. not because of He Who Must Not Be Named.
Who are you talking about?
No, I'm not touching that boat. Mm-hmm. Not getting on that one. Yeah, you've been with us since day one. And you're a podcast producer.
Mm-hmm. This is true. The Squarespace ads, baby.
Yeah, I heard you make all your money from Squarespace. I heard That's you only that from giant Squarespace. Square you live in mm-hmm. on the in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
Squarespace money.
Wait, that's your house?
That's, look, I don't want to...
This song's a bajillionaire.
They say you can see that square from space.
I mean, like, I have a very luxurious lifestyle. My Chipotle Rewards app is, you know...
Blowing up.
Yeah, are you drunk on Chipotle?
Out of control. I mean, like, probably. If that was a thing, I probably would be. But yeah, I produce podcasts. It's very cool to...
And you're a Twitch streamer.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing that, which has been very cool. It's just me, like, screaming about why am I so sad while playing, like, Super Mario 64, which is, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, our editor, actually, DJ Danil.
Yeah.
He's a
huge
awesome.
Fan of yours.
He's a huge fan. When he heard that you were going to be here,
he's going to hear this and kill us.
Out. No.
Do you think he'll literally cut this out because he's our editor?
No. He already knows this is the truth. But when you, because we were running a little bit late on our other recording, and so I texted him thinking he was still upstairs, mm-hmm. being like, "Hey, can you greet Yusong? We're still recording." And he's like, "Fuck, I'm not there anymore."
And he drove all the way back.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
He lives deep.
I said
deep
I'm
in the San
read...
Fernando Valley, and he's on his way back right now to greet you.
I'm just gonna read the text because I thought it was funny. I said, "He's like, I'm sorry, I'm already gone." I'm like, "Oh no, it's okay. It's not your fault. Sad you can't see him though." And he said, "Give you song my love."
Oh,
I'm also sad as well, but it's okay. Our love is eternal and has not seen its last showing.
I mean, Daniel's like really nice. I know from Twitter and from Twitch, so and in person.
He's he's
I'm gonna
in love
see him
you.
And be like, "God, Yusong was like, dude, this DJ Daniel stalker of mine."
Yeah, he's like, "This guy on Twitter like will not stop DMing me."
He's like always in my
asking
Twitch stream,
out.
Being like, "Yusong," and you're always like, "Ugh," but I try and like act cool. It's fine.
But
I
really
love that
are...
he's gonna hear all of this and be like, "I fucking hate you guys, Dan. You're the best. Thank you for editing our show."
He really is the best, but I think his admiration and love of you just goes to show, like, because he was saying he really got to know you and, like you from the, what's it called?
Streaming?
Dumb People. No.
Oh, Doughboys.
Doughboys. And he said that you were the perfect, like, your humor and whatever, and, like, you made the podcast so enjoyable.
Oh, my God.
And so that's how he really, like, became a fan of yours. And I think it's really true because you do have a cool, like, you have a great energy. You're really funny. And
oh
it just
my
goes
God.
To show... that you're likable, even though you don't think so.
I was literally just about to say, like, I think if anyone was listening to this for the first time, they would think that I'm, like, some sort of really popular person. They would have no idea how enormously lonely I am on a day-to-day basis. So that's very nice to hear.
Isn't it interesting how being a podcast producer is really one of the loneliest existences? I mean, there's, like, a darkness to it, but it's true because you just sit there all day, like, listening to talent talk, and then you're, like, kind of, the only really interaction you have is with an editor or engineer, and then you're just kind of like, oh.
Then you sit
behind a fucking computer emailing and scheduling and looking at calendars and talking to fucking talent and being like, fucking kill me.
Yeah.
And then you jump off a building, but for some reason you land on a bounce house and bounce all the way back up and you're like, why will nothing work out?
What cartoon is that?
I don't know. Could you imagine? Like, that just feels like my luck. I try and jump off a building and there's a bounce house and I just come right away back up and land back in my seat right at my table. Like, what? After all that?
Yeah. I don't know if you've had this experience, but it is like, sometimes I'll be like, why am I... Oh, I haven't talked to a person in like days.
That happened to me on Tuesday.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I came in to record a podcast at like 5 or something. I don't know what time it was, but I came in, I was editing something at home, so I genuinely did not say a word to a human being all day long. I come in, Jack O'Brien is the first person I see, and I try to say hello, my voice cracks, and I sound insane. He was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Sorry, you're the first human I've talked to you all day." It was
We do have a group chat about you.
That's my worst fear. I hate you for saying that.
I'm just joking. Could you imagine, like, what would we text? Like, yeah, looks like Shireen came in.
Awkward as ever.
Yep.
Like, but that's it. I do want to ask you how you got into podcasting in the first place, because you were already in it when we got in it.
Yeah,
in it
to win it from day one. I was just in high school. I really like. I mean, I definitely did have friends, but I was just like, you know, pretty sad the whole time. And then I listened just to a ton of podcasts during that time to like fill that space. And I was.
What'd
like,
you listen to?
I listened to This Feels Terrible, Aaron McGathy's podcast a lot.
Wait, you had podcasts in high school?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
How old are you?
How young are you?
Oh man, this interview might end here.
Are you 17?
No, I'm 23, about to turn 24.
Oh baby, you're 23.
I'm 23 and three quarters.
What are
just saying?
I'm 46. Like that's crazy to me that you're that young.
Wait,
you're a podcast producing prodigy.
No,
you really. But like, you must have been like 20 or something when we met you.
I think when we first met, yeah, probably.
Like 2021.
You just had your first shots ever. Yeah. You were 21. Yeah.
My first drink ever.
But I really did.
At the Bubba Gump Incident.
Now I don't feel bad for thinking you were an intern.
No. Which I think I literally was an intern when we first met.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think you should feel bad at all. I think that was literally my title.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Cornell in upstate New York.
That's why you're so far along.
A very long time.
It was all coming together. No. Like, oh, that's right. He's like kind of like an Ivy
smart.
Leaguer kind
of. Yeah, always yeah. A smart kid.
Wait, let's rewind.
Mm-hmm. Rewind. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah.
Okay, I was born in China.
What?
Oh, in my mom's hometown of Dalian, which is like in the northeast region of China. It's near the Koreas. And then when we were four, my family moved to San Francisco for a year. Then we went to Long Island for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And then upstate New York, which is where I spent middle school, high school, and college.
Wow. Yeah. Why so much moving? Moving and grooving.
I think it was just due to like my dad finding new job opportunities and my mom like sacrificing a lot to keep moving. Like
what did your dad do for work?
Moms always sacrifice everything.
Yeah, moms always sacrifice everything. And my dad's a scientist. He's a physicist.
Wow. He must be really proud of you.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Boy.
Sorry. That was mean.
And so where is the math in podcasting?
They were really like worried. Like the doctor or like a lawyer thing was like in full effect.
Oh, of course.
Until I started like doing internships, and even though I wasn't making any money, they were like, oh, at least there's like buildings and offices. Like mm-hmm. This is a legitimate.
Yeah, they feed you.
Yeah.
Wait, are they still
in Long Island?
Oh, sorry.
No, strangely enough, they just moved to San Francisco now. So we've like,
oh, so they're close.
Full circle.
Yeah, I kept joking that the next step would be for them to move back to China if we're doing this. But like, they're close now. And we were only in Long Island for a while. But it was
Do you
nice.
Have any siblings?
I do not. It's only me.
So they had all their hopes on you.
Yeah.
And look where you are now.
Like, I keep joking about this, but like, sometimes I think about the weight of all my ancestors and...
Yeah, no, for sure. You should think about that further. Yeah.
I mean, like, in the framing
take that
of,
with
like,
you to the grave, knowing what you've done.
I actually didn't know you were an immigrant. I had no idea.
I mean, like, I came at the right age to like learn English by watching like cartoons, mm-hmm. and so
that's a good age. Four.
Yeah.
Do you have any memory of coming here? I feel like that's when memories first start to happen. But I don't know.
I remember my mom giving me a haircut in San Francisco, and it being like so. I mean, like, God bless my mom. It's just awful, and like I think she would say the same. And I remember us. Like watching this kid eat string cheese for the first time.
Whoa, that's been a trip.
No, it was crazy because like that looks like the most fun thing in the world. Like you're just ripping strings off and eating them, and then we tried, and we just because there's no cheese in China, we both thought it was the
grossest
thing.
There's no cheese
thing.
In China?
I mean, there is cheese in China, but it's like very, God. It's like not like.
but America is like the.
It's not
a huge part of the diet.
Place yeah, where we're yeah, all yeah. like shoving cheese up our
like,
butts. Basically.
Factory, yeah. Like we invented factory farming and making it like accessible to everything, which is gross to me. But that's crazy that you're like string cheese. That's like the
so
one
you didn't
thing
like
I
it.
No, I didn't like it. But then I really had like a string cheese renaissance in like high school.
Class right. Yeah. Renaissance. I like that string cheese
yeah,
renaissance.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, wait a second, this shit dope. that's like me with
that's
broccoli
what it sounded like,
in
probably.
College, being like, why have I not been eating this? It's just good.
That was like me and marshmallows because we grew up Muslim and I was not allowed to have gelatin. And the first thing I did when I went to college was have all the pepperoni I could. Like I was
You can't have gelatin?
No, you can't have gelatin.
That's crazy because my
it's
mom
from a pig. Mm. So in Islam you can't have gelatin.
Interesting, because I thought it was that's never been maybe my mom never ate it, but my mom would always help us make like homemade Rice Krispies.
No, my mom would too, but she would use halal mushrooms. Because
wow.
There are halal
mushrooms
or marshmallows.
You have some nasty marshmallows.
English, second language. No, marshmallows. She
it's
would
like
make it with
show all your friends these nasty.
No,
ass
no, it's like, marshmallows.
It's mushed mushrooms.
I used to love marshmallows, and that's why I'm still like I'm obsessed with marshmallows and like Lucky Charms and everything that has marshmallows in them. Because when I went to college, I was like all you can eat. Pepperoni, marshmallows, everything I was deprived of, and
that's
then
crazy
because
my
and
mom
went
would,
vegan. So.
She would also make us like Jello, but I maybe like I never saw her eat this stuff. because she's pretty devout Muslim, but she would always make it for us. Like, she was fun. She was very fun mom when it came to being a kid.
I mean, like, my parents
like, making stuff like that with us.
My parents are less strict now, but I remember my mom would, like, homemake Rice Krispie treats and, like, give it to us in, like,
Saran wrap.
Yeah. I meant marshmallows!
I remember the first time that we made toast.
Whoa.
In the oven. And it was just like...
The oven?
Yeah, because
how did you guys do it?
We didn't have a toaster, so we just, like, turned the oven on. It was when we were living in, a giant apartment complex in Long Island. And it was literally, like, us and all the other Chinese families, like, just made a bunch of toast. And we just walked around eating toast.
That's so cute. I thought you were going to start by... Or stop with... We were living in a giant apartment, and I was like, humble brag.
No. Oh, man. Yeah.
Wait, so was there a Chinese community where you guys were? Is that what you mean?
Luckily, like, there's always been... I mean, at the least, it's been, like, one or two families. But I think, you know, that's way, like... I was going to say more than enough, but that's not true. It's like, thank God there was at least like one or two families that my parents could talk to and, you know, learn what Santa Claus was and like learn cultural clues.
Did you have any extended family that also came to America?
No, all of our family is in China. And so like I'm in this weird spot where I can't tell you the names of all my cousins. Whenever we go back, like we used to every 2 to 4 years, I think I speak pretty okay Mandarin. No one else thinks I speak okay
That's
Mandarin.
That's how we all are.
You're the American cousin just like us.
Yeah. So it's weird to be like removed from family. And I think like I don't really have like a good grasp of what family is because I compared that to like Full House growing up. And I was like, none of this makes any sense.
Yeah. The same with us though. Like we would always like our friends would go to, like grandma's house for Thanksgiving. And we'd be like, there's no grandma in this country. So we can relate in a sense. But so you said in high school you were pretty like, do you say lonely? Or
yeah. Lonely or sad. I don't know. Both of those are pretty status quo though.
But so you ended up going to Cornell. So at what point what did you study in college and like, how did you being sad, you listened to podcasts, that's how we got to that.
Mm-hmm.
So did those podcasts make you interested in like podcasting yourself or?
Yeah, I always like wanted to do some sort of like writing or just like, I don't know, like literally sharing anything with people. And so I listened to a lot of podcasts. I went to school and studied English. There was like a brief moment in there where I studied computer science because I had like—
You tried?
Yeah, I tried.
Because you
really
were like
tried.
Being like— Brainwashed
by
your parents.
But like everyone else around me was like, we made Brick Breaker. And I was like, I want to make Brick Breaker. And then after that, it was like, okay, now it's time to do discrete algebra. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And so, yeah, that's what led me. I think a part of it was like listening to a bunch of these interviews with these like comedians and writers and being like, oh, I can kind of like these people exist. I can leave less to my imagination and have more evidence to be like, okay, maybe there's some things that I can do to actually try to make this happen. Little as I mean, like the world is chaos and LA is like, that's how I got here.
But how did you, I mean, like Starboard is a great place to start though. So how did you get in there?
I cold emailed He Who Must Not Be Named. And,
interesting.
Really? We're both here because of that douchebag?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I hate that.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's cool. I mean, real Jekyll and Hyde situation with He Who Must Not Be Named.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we're not going to ever say his name or mention this ever again, but it is crazy because he did give us our shot at podcasting.
Yeah.
And he gave you your shot at podcasting.
Very crazy.
I wonder if we should credit him in any speech at any point in my life.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That cold email, that's bold.
Yeah, it was very wild. It was like during like a year of college where it was like thinking about my ancestors. I thought it was like I had a single for my second year and I was like, oh my God, maybe I'll get into a relationship. Oh my God, this is going to be great. And then every night just staring at the ceiling, when am I going to find a job? My family did everything for me and I have nothing to show for it, et cetera, et cetera, for just like constantly. And so I was like very, very like insanely lucky in a way.
Wow, that's
so. You just moved across the country?
Kinda, yeah.
Wow, how was that?
Recently, a friend told me, like, you know, it must have been really hard for you to move out here with like no friends or like you know, make that kind of switch. I was like, fuck, like I didn't even think about any of this. I should have thought about this. Like, I should have thought about this for like 30 minutes more. I think if I just thought about it a little more, I would have reached like a much more mature conclusion.
Wait, so do you regret coming here? Is that what you're saying?
No, it was just like, wow, I really did not put any thought into it.
But I also think those are the spontaneous decisions are sometimes the bravest ones because I didn't put a lot of thought into it either. And I came here not knowing a lot of people that well. And
I sent like 40 resumes out. One person called me back. I was like, I'll take the job.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. And then I moved to LA just blindly.
Yeah.
No idea what I was getting myself into.
But I think being on your own is really, it's an opportunity for growth.
Definitely.
I feel like you must have grown.
I think so. I think I'm slightly less nervous than I was back then. I think you
are sweating a lot.
I'm sweating so much.
There's a tissue right there.
Okay.
I'm
going
to take
it.
But you're not allowed to use the tissues. Okay. Could you imagine? Like, the tissues are right there, but please don't touch them. They're for show.
Yeah, those are just prop tissues.
I think I'm nervous because listening to you talk about me in such a kind manner was like a 100% flashback to like Chinese family dinner parties where all the kids would be sitting at one table and then we could hear all of our parents talking
like
about
bragging,
us.
Like bragging, like, you know.
Like, sometimes not even like a separation of rooms.
No.
They're like, so-and-so's a doctor, so-and-so's a doctor. Yusong produces Doughboys.
They had an actor that was a doctor on a show, on their show. That's like the closest you can get to having
so
a doctor.
So what? Yeah. Actually, no what's. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back.
With Yusong Roach.
No! No!
Yusong Lu?
Lu.
Okay.
Lu.
I've mentioned this a lot before, but I don't know how my name is supposed to be pronounced.
Really?
It's either Yusong or Yusong, and
well,
I don't know.
How do your parents
Yusong?
Say it?
They like never say my name, which is like fine because it never has to be really.
They're so like, hey,
what,
you.
What do they refer to you as? Like, boy?
No, pal mostly. No, like, they.
Hey, buddy.
They,
Lil Pally.
We're never in a situation where it's unclear that they're talking to me.
That's
you're
the
only
child.
Yeah, because I'm the only child.
That's fascinating.
And so,
they just
like,
turn towards you and speak at you.
Yeah, they just
wow.
speak at me. And
so you've never heard your name.
I mean, I like.
How do you know it's Yusong?
How do you know your name is Yusong?
No, I don't. And it's like, oh my god. So it's either Yusong or Yusong. I mean, fuck, Yusong or Yusong. And the Chinese version.
Or Yusef.
Or Yusef. I mean, there's like really a lot of options here. Uh-huh.
Whoa.
In Chinese, it's like Liu Yusong, and so there's not really an accent on either.
Uh-huh.
And when I've told people, like, you can call me either, and I really don't mind, and they were like, what? What do you mean?
I do that with Anna Anna as well. I mean, it's a little bit more distinctive because of how you say it, but, like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, neither do I.
People say my name weird all the time, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. At Starbucks, I say my name is Tom.
I say
of
Sally.
Of course.
Yeah.
I say Halliburton. Goddamn time.
Wait, does anyone ever ask you if you have an American name?
It was almost Tom.
It was almost Tom? That's why it's Tom.
Yeah.
My name was Sally.
Wow.
That's why mine is Sally.
Oh my God.
Your parents were going to name you Tom?
My parents were going to name me Tom, but it was just really like a sorting hat situation where they were like, do you want an American name? And I was like, no, I'm doing fine.
They asked
like,
you when you were already born.
They asked me when after we had moved to the U.S. for like a year, they were like, do you want an American name?
Oh.
And I was like, this is fine.
This is fine.
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, Yusong's not.
It's not terribly hard.
I don't think you look like a Tom.
Thank you.
I think
maybe a Thomas.
Yeah. Huge burn to all the Toms.
Maybe like a Tom, but with an H.
No, Tom.
Like
Tom
a Tom
is...
York.
Thom?
No, it's pronounced Tom. You just leave the H in there.
Thumb. Thumb Lou.
Okay, all right.
No, but.
Thumb Lou.
I think Tom, the reason why I said not Tom is because it's too common and you're not common.
Wow. Oh my God.
But I think you're just like me. And the reason why I keep making you uncomfortable is because I'm really bad at taking compliments and you're just like me.
You're right. I should, you know, this
That's
is
why
like
she's
a...
going out of her way to make you uncomfortable.
I can't be the only one.
No, I should take this moment. Okay, thank you for the compliments. I do appreciate your kind words.
To keep in mind, he did not look
you don't
me in
have
the
to
eye.
Thank us for
He was looking
you.
Down on his hands and he thanked me. But I want to know how you and Rebecca first became friends and how you decided to start your podcast, Worst Case Scenario, because I love your podcast.
Oh my God. So we just started being friends because we worked together and then we were just like hanging around and joke all the time. And it was like very much like the brief conversation where we had where it's like, how are you? And the answer was just like, terrible. Everything sucks. The world is darkness. Like, and we both find like an extreme amount of like joy and humor in that. And so we just made a podcast about anxiety.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My episode was kind of all over the place, but I had a lot of fun.
No, that was a really good episode. And I think like if we ever do both find the time, you know, and I think the mental space and have accumulated enough new anxieties. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I just think talking about mental health is so important.
Yeah, me too.
Making it like accessible is good too.
I think like the message that social media is probably bad is one that I will never get tired of hearing. Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the devil.
I mean, something that
actually,
does freak me out, though.
Actually, it's just Twitter.
Well, something that
bad.
Freaks me out is that, like, and your Facebook. Phone emits blue light. And, like, I didn't realize this, but, like, there was just, like, the YouTuber I was watching that was saying, like, this makeup product has something in it to protect your skin against blue light.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
what
I was like, the
has.
Fuck? Like, all this time, like, that's why I look ugly? Like,
that's,
because of...
Well, no, that's not why you look ugly, but...
Okay.
I'm just joking. That's not, like, I don't think that's... you know, it's also just, I think it's just really bad for your eyes. Like, my glasses have like that, I had the option to add that blue light thing.
I mean,
to, like,
it's
help
definitely
with
good
screens.
For glasses and stuff, but like the fact that, like, I mean, that's what scares me is because it's like technically and literally and proven to be detrimental to us. So
that's
it's
crazy.
Not
yeah.
just like.
That's why you should only buy makeup that has SPF some level in it, no
well,
matter what.
But SPF doesn't matter for blue light, though.
You never know. You might as well, look, I am such an aggressive. You have to have some sort of SPF on
oh,
you at
no,
all
yeah.
times.
As far as skincare goes, definitely.
So hopefully it stops that blue light.
It doesn't stop the blue light, but SPF is
How
very.
How do you know?
Because I know about SPF. It's good for the sun.
Yeah, but you didn't Google if it stops blue light?
No, because that's like another kind of like the
Google it.
I don't want it right now. Yusan doesn't care about health and skincare.
No, I've.
Yusan,
do you moisturize?
Sunscreen at all times.
Do you moisturize?
So I don't moisturize.
Oh
Can
my,
I just
but
say
your skin
something
is
that...
so baby soft. That's because you're a baby.
But I'm gonna tell you now, that ain't gonna last. You need to put some SPF on.
No, I totally understand.
You want some? I have some in my bag.
Oh, honestly, maybe. Like, I'm very like.
I literally stopped the show to make you put on SPF.
No,
right
I'd be down. I've done two face masks in my lifetime. Those really helped. One of them was at the behest of someone because they were like, "Your skin is so dry. Please."
You have very nice skin.
Oh, thank you.
For being a child, you have no acne.
He's not a child. He's an adult. He's an adult.
I'm kidding.
Man.
I'm sorry. I go between making fun of him and then making him giving him compliments.
For
no,
that's my favorite.
Oh, my God.
Oh my god.
You have the softest skin.
He really does have nice skin, though.
You do have great skin.
Here's yeah. like here's the least charismatic thing I could ever say in my entire life, and I'm so sorry. Strangers have said that to me, and I always
oh.
never know how to react. Like
well, you just say, huh.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, thank you. I got it from my mama. Can you imagine Yusong ever saying that?
I
like,
usually.
Thank you. I do nothing for this.
You say nothing less.
I mean, it's. I'm doing what exactly I do now, which is I don't
do you
make
drink
eye contact.
A lot of water?
I sweat.
Do you drink
and
a lot
I'm
of water?
I've been trying to lately.
So maybe that's why.
Yeah. I bought this like giant carafe from
you
Daiso.
You just might have genetically good. Ooh, giant carafe. You know I love Daiso.
Daiso's yeah. great.
And look, my roommate and I, we have a Brita filter in the fridge. Mm-hmm. That fridge water is too cold.
I drink room temp only.
Yeah, and so I bought the craft.
What are you guys, my dad?
No!
My dad loves room temp. Okay, go ahead.
It's just easier to chug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm crisp only.
No!
Again, I just want to say before I say this next thing, I'm not a baby.
yeah, we're
a grown man. He's a grown man. Sorry.
But it hurts my teeth when the water is too cold.
23 3/4.
It does hurt my teeth too when the water is too cold.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive.
It's a real problem. And so I've just been pouring the filtered water into the craft, and it's a good
oh,
setup.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you let it like cool off.
I let it cool off. Yeah. I mean, warm up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, I'll right. fill up my water bottle and put it on the counter overnight. Mm-hmm. So I'll drink it in the morning and it's room temp.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not put your Brita filter
well,
in the
I
fridge?
Well, I don't. My roommate puts hers in the fridge.
Yeah,
mine's not in the fridge.
And I'm too scared to say to my roommate, hey.
Just get another one. I bought another one.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's passive aggressive.
No, it's not. I told her. I told her, like, I'm getting a
hey,
Brita filter because I don't like
sorry,
cold water.
Sorry, like, we can't have the same Brita.
It's not even that. She uses mine, too, which doesn't want cold water. And if I had, for any reason, had a guest over that wanted cold water, I'll use hers. So it's like a win-win. Not that I have guests over.
That's fine. I only like crispy cold water because I believe in having a refreshing glass of water.
But like, even in restaurants.
Dude, my dad will make a hubbubaloo over having ice in his cup of water. He'll be like, oh, we don't want ice. And
no.
We're all like, no, we're fine with ice. You just don't want ice. Why don't you
no,
say
no.
you don't want ice?
So my dad, every time we order, my mom and I will be like, can we get two waters, no ice? And my dad's like, and mine with ice. He's always like, mine needs ice. And me and my mom are the same, like,
yeah,
no
see,
ice.
My dad doesn't like ice.
We always get water with no ice and then lemon if they have it. Because
you're high maintenance, please.
No, because lemon is good for your health and your skin. And we eat the lemon. Do you guys eat
wow.
lemon? Me and my mom eat lemons.
No, I never know what to do with the lemon. I just put
you
it in.
You eat it.
Oh, man.
I'd put it in my butt.
Spicy.
That actually would burn all that citrus.
That would really burn.
All that citrus.
Oh, I was going to say.
Sorry, go on.
No. My mom microwaves her water, like to heat it up.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Like your mom.
That's pretty normal. I feel like a lot of people, unless you have like a straight up water heater, you would just microwave it.
Well, because
right?
like hot water and lemon is like a very like common.
That's what my mom always made me when I was sick. Hot water, lemon, and put a little bit of honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A little bit of honey.
Sounds
same,
great.
Same.
Yeah. Should I talk about my heritage?
Yeah.
Do well, it. Well, I'm actually really happy. Like, I wanted you to be on anyway, but the fact that you're an immigrant, like, you're perfect.
Yeah, no, I was thinking
should
about
this
a lot.
Should I talk about my heritage? What a question. We should have asked that. Yeah. What's your heritage?
No. I think
cut all that out. You said, what's your heritage?
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. My family is, like, Chinese. I just had this, like, experience lately. And by lately, I mean the last time I did something social, which was, I mean, like, 4 months ago, where I was, like, having dinner in the San Gabriel Valley. And then a friend and I went to this like Chinese restaurant, and then suddenly we were outside at night, and I was like, oh my God, there's all these young Chinese people around. Wait, I'm a young Chinese person. Oh my God. Like it was just very exciting. And I realized like, oh, I have a very voyeuristic view of Chinese culture.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cause I grew up, you know, pretty American. And like, my parents and I did not understand each other for the longest time because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily now it's better, but I realized like now, like, man, it was so weird. Like, I didn't feel like I belonged in the San Gabriel Valley. I don't feel like I belong in China, and I also don't feel like I belong in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this weird, oh my God, I can hear the eyes rolling already.
No, that's like all we ever talk about. That's all we ever talk about. That's how we feel.
This is your podcast.
That's why we're uniting the aliens of the world, you know?
I was more saying that in preparation for this next thing, when I studied abroad in Paris for a semester, like my parents came to visit me.
Sorry, you studied abroad in Paris for a semester?
And you came back wearing a beret?
Oh my God, you had an accent?
You came back wearing a beret?
You started wearing a little red bracelet because you were into Kabbalah now?
You only ate croissants and baguettes?
Oh my God.
No, I deserve that.
I like how you really tried to sneak that in.
It's awful. It's like the most cliche thing to say. But my parents visited me, mm-hmm. and we had this like weird conversation where my mom was like, you know, we don't belong here. We don't belong here with like the Chinese people in Paris. And it's like, we just don't belong anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we had like the, you know, like the resolution where like, oh, you know, it's probably fine just as long as, you know, we've always just moved around, the three of us. So wherever we go, we'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting to realize that now and to be like, I don't really know anything about like either culture in that depth so much. And I'm actively trying to learn.
That's good. I mean, yeah. I think Anna and I really talk about a lot of the time. I mean, just feeling like these transient floating beings, like just not. Like, I don't even know what home, but I don't think of a place when I hear the word home. There's no, like, that's why I think, like, Syria, and I think for Anna, Iran, like, it has, like, a very, like, magical feeling for us, because it's, like, this ancient home, but, we are foreigners there and foreigners here, so there's no winning.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm just saying the San Gabriel Valley is great. There's a lot of good hot pot restaurants there.
They're really good. I've been there. Yeah, hot pot is, like, popping there.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. What do you spend a lot of time in the San Gabriel Valley?
Well, he's Asian. So
no, it's so far. It's so far, but I really want to like. I kind of want to live there. Like further east.
Really good restaurants. Really,
yeah.
Good
no, dim sum up the.
Oh yeah, dim sum.
Some of those restaurants where it's like 400 people because they're like a giant ballroom.
Yeah,
those are
and
like
just like
where it's like they bully you into taking the food.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
like
any good, not like foreign, but like. You. No, but, like, a lot of, like, Arab restaurants like that, too, and I'm sure Persian restaurants like that, too, where it's, like, generous to the point of, like, abuse.
Yeah.
So, like, eat, and, like, their hand is in your
throat.
Even,
like, your parents are, like, take it home. Someone will eat it.
You're
like,
all the time.
Someone.
Yeah.
It's going to sit in the fridge.
Yeah.
Until your father. It's always the father. The father will end up eating it, is really what they need to say. His dad will end up eating it because he'll be hungry at some point and decide to just eat it.
Well, if you mentioned that it was just you and your parents, and because you're the only child, are you guys close, you and your parents?
I think it's like it was really rough for a while, like in high school. But I think like after college, I think after I was out of the house, it just like we all like kind of chilled out for a while, and it's been better.
So they were strict on you, is what you're saying?
they actually weren't that strict. It was just like we just had like a lot of like emotional disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us out of the three of us are that confrontational. So it was just like a lot of unresolved stuff. But since college, I think we've all gotten better at like trying to actually communicate once in a while.
I mean, I feel like we all grow together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you talked to them about your mental health? Or like, are they aware that you struggle mentally sometimes? Or were they aware back then in high school?
I was just thinking about this. I remember one day when I was like an adolescent or a teen, I said to my mom, I have nothing to look forward to. And she was like, oh, it's fine. You'll probably like, and thinking about that now, I'm like, I don't think my mom did anything wrong. But thinking about that now, if I had a child, like God forbid, and they said, I have nothing to look forward to, I'd be like, okay, just buckle up. We're going straight to a therapist. But I think they definitely knew because I think, you know, at a certain point in college, we just talked about it because it was hard to ignore.
Yeah,
I do feel like that sort of tough love, like, well, I'd be like, I'm so unhappy. My mom would be like, you know, yeah, life's just not fair.
Yeah.
Like, no, but I also think, especially other cultures and immigrant parents, they don't really, mental health isn't something, like, when you're in a bad mood, it's like, get over it, stop being a baby. Like, it's not like something like, oh, you need help. And
yeah, they're not like, cherish your child's, you know.
Like emotional intelligence or emotional. Yeah, like, yeah.
They're like, well, you know, I had to leave my country with no money and work my way to where I am today. I didn't speak the language. You know, I walked 86,000 miles a day in the snow uphill to get where I am today. So what are you complaining about?
Right.
And you're like, I'm going to blow my brains out.
Well, that's the if you think that you grew up in like Syria or Iran, like, do you think you would be depressed?
I
don't know.
I think
I'd be a completely different person.
Yeah,
I mean, I would be too, but I also think a large part of my depression, not a large part.
I would probably be a queen.
I think it's genetic, and I think a lot of my family has unresolved mental issues.
Mm-hmm. I think I would be all drama all the time because that's what my culture is like. You know, like in that weird way. Do you think you would be like the classic Middle Eastern gossip? Like, do you think you'd be like that? We like over tea, like,
that's all it
is. Put the tea on. Did you hear what happened across town? Yeah, because I had nothing else going on in my life because our country is so restrictive on how we're allowed to live our lives.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I am proud about the amount of tea I drink right now, though, because it's good. I would fit in right away. But I do think that it's genetic, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And I also think because the Middle East does not deal with mental health well and does not address it well, I think it would only fester more. And like, even my aunt, one of my aunts, I have a lot of extended family, but one of my aunts, she had postpartum depression for her last child. And so she went to the doctor. So the psychiatrist is not very popular in Syria. And this is like maybe 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And for her,
I'm surprised they even have psychiatrists there.
They don't really. Like, they have like doctors that can prescribe you psych meds.
Doctors who are like, okay, you don't seem crazy.
And like, she said that the doctor
that's fucking
prescribed
crazy,
her something.
I'm sorry.
Because she had postpartum depression. Sorry for the car alarm. But all her siblings said that she was like they would make fun of her for being like sad
crazy,
or whatever.
Right?
She's the crazy one or whatever. Like, even,
well, it even goes back to like what Kiti Katan, Tamra Katan's mom was saying. Like, her sister was told to go into a mental institution, and she said, no, I won't do that because that'll like ruin my life here in Egypt. Like, people will always know me as the girl that went like into a hospital.
And that same sister ended up taking her own life.
Yeah.
And that wasn't addressed as like a mental health side effect. It was just like, oh, she was sad and she had to go. It's like, no, it's because the Middle East is not very good at addressing mental health. And I'm hoping it's getting better. And I think not just the Middle East, but a lot of countries, I mean, we're barely, oh, it stopped.
What an uplifting metaphor.
Yeah. It all gets better.
Yeah.
That car alarm was a metaphor for mental health issues in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what else to say. The car alarm stopped.
I think about this hypothetical all the time because I don't think I would have known. I think I would have been, like you said, like a completely different person. I don't think I would have ever like really known about capital D depression in the same way that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No. You would just think you're being
a baby.
I would
just be known as dramatic.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be like, God,
I was always
so
called
dramatic.
Sensitive. I was always called sensitive as a kid. I was always emotional. I had a really bad temper. I was just that kid. I was the
hothead. And to imagine the ways I would have taken it out in Iran.
Oh, I agree.
Like, I would have been such a little piece of shit. Just like, just talking shit about everyone, stirring drama left and right, spilling tea in both ways. I was like the rebel of the family here.
I don't even know what I would, like, what kind of rebellious things I would do.
You would be in jail.
I would be in jail.
I would be in Syrian prison and or murdered by Bashar al-Assad right now.
But seriously, though, because I was with my mom for Mother's Day, mm-hmm. and something was, we were like taking a walk around the neighborhood with my little sister. And she looks at me because we were on this neighborhood walk and there's like one route my mom takes. And she's like, hey, do you want to break the law? And I look at her. It's like, always. And she's like, she looked at my little sister. She was like, Shireen's always breaking the law. It was about trespassing. But like, she was like, because she had done it with me before. So she knew, because she knows me and she knows that like I break all the rules. But she looks at my little sister. She was like, don't be like Shireen. But this is what Shireen's into.
Oh my God.
Like went in trespassing, got like a shortcut back home. But my mom, I don't know. My mom accepts who I am. So it's nice.
Yeah.
But it's cool that I have that reputation at home. The lawbreaker.
I'm police.
All this time, long game, and it's in it for the long game.
I've been doing this podcast for 2 years to catch you. Yeah, we literally got it on tape. All right, bring in the SWAT.
Yusong just like strips off his shirt and has like, a bulletproof vest underneath.
I'd still be insecure.
The bulletproof vest is just like abs.
So insecure about her. Like, guys, does it make me look weird?
Sorry.
Is farmer's tan is showing? Yeah. Just kidding.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
To be insecure in a bulletproof vest is a hilarious concept.
I mean,
only Yusong.
Only Yusong.
Yeah, words can still hurt you.
On that note, we're going to take a little crying break, and we'll be right back with Yusong.
Yusong, Yusong.
And we're back.
With Yusong, Yusong.
Yusong, Yusong.
Insecure in a bulletproof vest.
That's the subtitle for this episode.
Oh man,
it's
hope I get
called
to say,
"We Are Insecure in a Bulletproof Vest."
I hope I get to say something that makes me seem like self-assured and cool by the end of this episode.
Makes you seem what?
Self-assured and cool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, you are wearing sunglasses and smoking a cigarette.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
And wearing a leather jacket over your bulletproof vest.
Yeah, pop culture tells me all those things are very cool.
Yeah. I follow.
Your hat is backwards.
Yeah.
And your truck is lifted.
We are doing this in the truck.
What if you had a lifted truck? We're like, so insecure. And you drive the most insane, lifted, like crazy. Just like ball sack hanging off the back.
Oh my
like,
God.
Holy shit.
That's Yusong's car?
Yeah.
I drive the smallest Prius.
Oh, yeah. I have a Prius too.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it makes sense.
If I were to create you as a character, I would have given you a Prius.
Or like a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
A Mini Cooper. Interesting. Yeah. Or one of those Fiats.
Aw, no, the Fiat's too, like, baby.
It's not a baby car. It's just teeny tiny.
I would just like to say that a month from now, maybe when this will be released, I will be 24.
Oh, yay!
You will be a millionaire.
Wait, are you a Taurus or a Gemini?
I'm a Gemini. I'm very two-faced.
Wow, that scares me. Why would you just shat my pants?
Oh my God.
When you said
what
that.
What the fuck?
No. You like locked eyes with me and just said you're very two-faced.
I think it's just like, I'm like.
What is this guy?
I have a lot of problems with Gemini. Shireen.
Really?
I do.
I'm
scared.
But I mean, like, I love Gemini because I have a lot of Gemini friends, but I do think they get a lot of flack.
I think like I'm like really judgmental, like deep down of myself and of others. And so that's like obviously just terrible. Like I'm trying to not do that.
So basically what you're saying is like as you're talking to us, you're thinking like something different.
Yeah.
You're thinking like, of ways I'm to thinking, take us
like,
down.
Dodoy, like room temperature water is the only room temperature water.
Dodoy.
I don't even know what going on.
I like that Yusong's inner monologue says Dodoy.
Dodoy. Dodoy, everyone loves room temp.
But that's a cool birthday. I remember, I think I was happy at 20, or I don't know. I think 24 was a fun year. It was nice.
24 was the year I realized I didn't want to work in reality TV development. I actually switched into working into comedy.
Oh,
well,
nice.
Speaking of that, how are you happy in podcasting? Or like, do you think in the future, like what do you want to do in this city and or industry?
Oh man. Yeah. This is like a good / bad week to talk about it, I guess, because it's literally all I've been able to think about. I think like, I don't know. I'd love to hear your opinions on this.
Please. Advice time.
Advice time. When I was in college, I was in like a sketch group, and then we went to like a different school, and there was this like professional group. And the one thing that they said to us that I remember is like, you know, growing older is just redefining your definition of success. And me, in a very like teenage kind of way. Uh-huh. I was like, that just means you failed. Like, yeah. Like super harsh. Mm. And I know I'm wrong. Deep down, I know I'm wrong.
I mean, I kind of believe you. Like, part of me believes you.
Right?
Like, Dedoy, you're wrong.
Dedoy. And so lately, it's been like, well, fuck. I came out here because I kind of wanted to write for TV. And I still do. So, this past week has just been like, oh, fuck. Maybe that won't ever happen.
You're 23.
Sorry. This is true.
I'm 46.
She did mention that already.
She's turning
47 tomorrow.
Oh my god. Well, now I feel rude that I haven't brought a gift or anything.
Her big 47.
It's okay. I'm going for bunion surgery.
Ew. Just shave those babies right
off. My cataracts.
I don't know what old.
Wait, sorry. We keep interrupting you.
No, it's okay.
I want to give you advice.
So I've been
not that I know anything.
I've been lately asking myself like, well, do you just want to write TV? Do you just want to write in general? Do you just want to stream because you're literally just like, you know, sharing things with people and trying to make people feel better by giving them either a distraction or like, you know, being open about whatever it is you're going through? I don't know. I don't have a good answer to any of those questions. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, well, here we go. Gonna have a birthday soon. Hope, you know, I figure this out sometime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That didn't end with any advice question.
I mean, like, I think it's okay. I actually dislike when people ask me the question that I asked you because mm-hmm. I am very bad at like, I've never had like a 5-year plan or like, yeah. I've never known, I'm not a very good planner. I don't really have concrete steps to take to like get to where I want to be.
Ironic because of the trespassing thing.
You song, please leave.
I should
go. No, that was pretty good. I was left stunned. But I think it's okay not to have a clear plan and just to take the opportunities that come and or be open to what is available because,
You
know, I mean, I remember in high school, we had this guy who was a cinematographer who went to our high school, come speak to us. And he was like, everyone goes in to LA being like, I want to be a director. I want to be the writer. And then they all just like find their own path eventually. Like mm-hmm. He wanted to be a director and then eventually end up being a cinematographer because that's what he liked more in the end. Mm. So I think it's like you go in thinking you want to be this, but then I think you end up finding your own path. And like, who knows? You might find your path to writing on TV or something. Because that's like kind of how it goes. It's like you've made the connections you need, you know, like you're meeting everyone every day. Like that's kind of how you find your own way around. And also ow, my fucking nail is stuck in my hair. Sorry.
Keep it in. But like,
leave it in. I don't care. But you're writing for your own podcast. Like that's still like a form of writing, you know? Like, it's just more practice to get you where you would want to go. And you never know. It doesn't hurt to keep writing and have, like, packets on. Like, not, like, full packets, but, like, if you have a pilot, like, having mm-hmm. that. Like, I have pilots that I don't do anything with, but I have them if anyone's ever, like, I need writing samples from you. Then I can easily just be like, oh, I have this pilot about a process server. Mm-hmm. I have this pilot about I'm giving away too much information. Yeah. don't steal these ideas. You know, like, I have stuff in my butthole that I can pull out if I need to and be like, there you go. Look at me, big old writer's ass. And you know what? I'm currently, you know, like, writing on the Chelsea Handler podcast, and that's, like, interesting because I never thought I would write for Chelsea Handler and or her podcast because I don't know how anything works. But for some reason, they, like, trust me to do it because I've shown enough that I can be a person with funny ideas on my podcast.
Yeah.
And that's, like, seen as, oh, well, sweet. Clearly she can come up with funny concepts.
Yeah.
And that's, like, worked out in my favor. But I've never given them anything physically that I've written until I just started, like, handing in stuff to write then. Then they'd be like, oh, that's funny. And I'd be like, yeah. I'm fucking funny.
Yeah.
I'm fucking funny.
Yeah. And that's how I just talk to everyone. I'll go like, yeah, hey, nice to meet you. I'm fucking funny. So everything leads to something and, you know, just keep working on it and always have, you know, writing samples in your asshole, like I just said.
No, yeah. I'm going to go home. Gonna
stuff some writing samples in your
asshole. I guess take a shower first.
You know, enema would be key.
Yeah.
Flush all the toxins out, you know?
I think like the mature part of me knows you're 100% right. And then, but like the immature part of me.
Fuck you, Dedoy girl.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what a Dedoy girl is.
The 23 and 0.75 years old of me is like, don't ever lose track of, like, there's only one singular goal. Like yeah.
You're drunk, Yusong. You're drunk again.
I know. But I do think, I mean, I know I don't feel young, even though people tell me I'm young, but you are young and you have so many. I feel like I'm so excited to see where
you're
your career...
a podcast producer of like a poppin' ass podcast.
And you're
now?
Barely 24?
Oh, honey.
Hang like, on. Let I me have just put, no... a, put my fishing line away from fishing for all these compliments. Okay, good. All right.
All right, you song, I take it back. That joke was not funny.
Okay. But I do really think, like, I have no doubt that you, like, I'm excited to see where you go. Like, I wouldn't have you on the, we wouldn't have you on the podcast if you were like a deadbeat.
Wow.
Yeah, like if you're on the street being like, hey man, you want to buy some weed?
I mean, I don't know why that would be.
I mean, that's how we
devastating
met.
Impression of it. Yeah.
I'm like, is that you?
But I also think when you mentioned you were in a sketch group, so you used to perform.
Yeah, I didn't know that. No, yeah, I have a bunch of like there's like a bunch of YouTube videos, right? Yeah.
Did you like performing?
I've loved it.
Would you ever do it here?
Yeah, I think I like did one or two open mics when I first moved out here that like took the wind out of my sails because I
as
was,
they
like,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, open mics like, here killed me.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, well, this is a new flavor
even,
of sadness.
Yeah, yeah. I'm even more dead inside than I knew possible.
Yeah. So it's eventually I want to kind of get back to that. Yeah.
That's cool. Would you be more interested in open mics and or like everyone goes to like UCB, I feel like at some point, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, I took some sketch writing classes at UCB just so I could like learn to write sketches. I didn't think ever like apply to be a sketch writer or anything. Like
same.
But I just was like, might as well like have that.
Yeah.
Like understand how like heightening works. Like I just figured if I was ever going to try and write, it's good to have that knowledge. I mean, yeah, UCB is expensive AF.
It's crazy expensive. Yeah.
But if you can't afford that or figure out how to afford it, it's always helpful to have this sort of knowledge in your life.
And you never know. I mean, like, not that you should do it for this reason, but you never know who you're going to meet. Like, I feel like that's what's weird about the city is, like, I've gotten jobs through the most random of connections. Like, the most random. Like, even tomorrow, like, I'm working on a film for the next couple of days, and it's, like, a friend of a friend of a friend. And it's, like, I don't know. It's cool to meet new little circles just to see where that takes you. But I also think that you're going to be fine. I'm 100% like convinced of that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I've had a lot of conversations with friends lately that was like, fuck, I think if I was like, did you have to ask your parents to say like the phrase, I'm proud of you?
I don't really ask those kind of things.
I eventually like forced it out of them.
Yeah.
It was easier for them to say it with my doctor sister and my little sister that was always the baby.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I think they realized that I needed to hear it, and then they started telling it to me.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about that too, like just trying to trace everything back to my parents in some way or another, I guess, to try to find an explanation. But it's just like, fuck, if I could literally just be like proud of myself, or I like even just like 10% more self-assured, I'd be fucking fine. Mm-hmm. It's just like that is going to take a while.
But I also think as people of color and as marginalized people, I always think, like, if I had the confidence of a white guy.
Yeah. I think about this all the time.
Like,
what?
Like, they are so audacious and ridiculous. Like, I literally, last night, I got a text from this guy that I literally ghosted 2 months ago because it was awful. Like, he just, like, was
Shereen, please don't read my text out loud.
No, but he texted me last...
You ghosted Yusong?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I love Yusong!
I actually didn't ghost him because he's still, like, in my circles, but I didn't respond to his text because he, like... was just like a fuck boy.
Oh my god! Write down who it was.
You already know who it is. I'll tell you later. But he texted me last night being like, "Hey,
Seth
come
Myers?
Over."
Holy shit, dude! You shouldn't have ghosted him.
No, but I'm saying like this white guy has so much confidence.
Yeah, to be
like everything was chill like less than 2 months ago, right? Like we didn't leave on a bad note, even though I never responded and have no desire. Like there's confidence of a white guy confidence. Is astounding to me.
Yeah,
you see it in politics. You see it in celebrity culture. It's astounding, and so I always think like if I just had like 1% of that, I would be okay. Whether it's professionally or creatively or whatever, like you see some movies, they're utter trash.
They're written and directed
by these white men that just like made these movies because like they're white men.
Yeah.
I do say even if you did like have a career in writing, you'd be surprised. You probably won't feel any like it. You'll still be like, shit, where do I go now? Where do I go now?
Yeah,
it doesn't really get any better.
I've made films, still very sad.
Can I get that cross-stitched on a...
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Fucking knew it!
No, just cross it out.
Dave please. Blaine? Sorry, David.
David Blaine.
I think that's a weird one. The way that I see that manifesting is that, like, it's in, like, the question, like, will you read my script? I think I've met a lot of people who have just been so confident about asking other people that question.
Yeah.
And I find that with people of color or like people in general.
Because you don't want to put anyone out. You're like, oh, I don't want to.
Yeah. I don't want to disturb the peace.
A culture of politeness.
Yeah. And I would much rather wait for someone to offer. But it's just like, man, you're depriving yourself like.
Everyone's always like, no one's going to ask you to step up. It's like, you have to step up for yourself, says some white guy to you.
Right. And so like, I don't think either of those like are necessarily correct in any way, but it's just like, yeah, sometimes it's astounding. And I'm like really, really turned off by it.
But I also think something that we have over the white man is immigrant parents work so hard.
Yeah,
even not by saying it out loud, but we see their work ethic.
Yeah,
100%. And we subconsciously do it by example. Like, Ann and I talk about this all the time, but like seeing our parents work so fucking hard has made us have crazy work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same will go for you. Like, I think you're obviously, like, if you're depressed, you're depressed, but I also think you're unsatisfied. I'm very unsatisfied with anything I do because I feel like I should be doing more.
Yeah.
And I think that makes me sad, and I want to reorient that frustration into being productive. I think that's what I'm the most good.
Yeah.
Is when I stop moping about it and start doing stuff, you know?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, because that's when you'll get out of the rut, is because you have the work ethic there. I think it's just debilitating when it's also compounded with depression.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
I should probably close like the game of Hearthstone I have open on my phone. But like, I agree with you 1,000%. Yeah. I think I'm very much moping around right now. I do the same thing too.
When I'm not working, I'll sleep in. You have the same number of hours in the day as Beyonce. And I'll be like, no, I'm still going to sleep.
Wow, I've never heard that.
You've never heard that? I've always heard that. I'm just be like, okay, I'm a failure. I get it. She's out here like dancing 5 hours a day, and I'm like sleeping until one.
Who's dancing 5 hours a day?
I'm just like Beyonce. I don't know. Probably more. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Beyonce dances? What if I didn't know anything about Beyonce?
Who's Beyonce? Who's Beyonce?
What?
Beyond who?
Beyond the River Bend. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, sorry. Anyway, I got a text from my mom, which was unlike her. Sorry. Go on.
No, I mean, I do appreciate all the. This is an advice podcast, right? Like, people send in questions.
Yeah, I didn't realize you, like, wanted to
start.
We
haven't started the podcast yet.
Oh, cool. Let's start rolling. Yeah.
It's funny that you thought this podcast was about you, Yusong. Just joking.
He brought, like, a textbook about the Middle East with him.
He's like reading to us. We're like, what are you.
Yeah.
The conquest of the slave.
Yeah. That was written by a white man.
Yeah, white like history, white men.
I just have a question. How did you get into producing the Doughboys?
Oh.
The French podcast Doughboys.
And that's why you went to France.
Croissants
and baguettes.
Yeah.
And also, did you gain any weight from producing that show? Go ahead.
I don't think so.
You don't eat anything they eat?
No, I do. Okay. I had Del Taco for the first time, and that was like kind of incredible.
Incredible?
For the first time?
I don't think I've ever had Del Taco, but go
really?
Ahead.
Really? It's a very California thing.
I was very ashamed because I hadn't.
Taco Bell.
I had never like really had a Del Taco, and I was really embarrassed because, like, you know, the show's about fast food.
You shouldn't have to be embarrassed over that.
No, but like given the subject, me and Emma, the audio engineer, we were
Emma
both,
used to do some of our shows.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah Emma's really
Emma's
great. I love
fucking
Emma.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out Emma.
Emma.
But we were both like, hey, neither of us have had Del Taco. And then it was like hearing NASA scientists like give you advice on your physics homework. Like, we were listening to two experts telling us what to order. So, but luckily, I don't think I've gained any weight from that show.
Good for you. I gained some weight listening to it for a minute. So I was like, I should go to Chili's.
No, you should not.
I do like Del Taco a little bit more than Taco Bell right now because they have an entire vegan option with impossible meat. That's so cool.
I heard. It doesn't matter. Okay, I don't know what I was going to say about Taco Bell, but they're coming out with a hotel.
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's going to be a Taco Bell branded hotel.
Is that crazy?
Like,
guess what room service
is. Like, the bed is like made of taco shells?
No, like instead
of
the...
No, it's like a fucking hotel.
Oh.
That looks like a Taco Bell.
I was thinking of like Legoland equals tacos.
It's actually just like all sleeping bags, like tortillas.
Whoa!
I should leave. But the reason that I worked on that show is because I luckily started interning when Ethnically Ambiguous came out. It was like, I think This podcast came out after Doughboys came out, but it was just like, mm-hmm. I was there around that time, and Mitch is also from upstate New York to some degree, mm-hmm. And so we had something to talk about.
Isn't he from Massachusetts?
He's from Massachusetts, but he went to school in Ithaca, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. So that little commonality was like, you're cool.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, you've heard me talk for like the last 45 minutes. I would have never said anything.
Yeah, I regret this.
So are you their full-time producer now?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, yeah. That's really cool.
Full-time is like maybe an exaggeration. I don't know. It's just a lot of like
calling. No, I don't mean like full-time job, but she means like you're like the main producer.
Yeah. It's a lot of like calling.
Job. You did?
What else do you do?
I'm like freelance producing some other podcasts that I hope come out soon.
Okay.
And just picking up things here and there in the meantime, but it's mainly Doughboys.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very proud of you. So
we're very proud of you.
I'm just kind of sad. I'm sad that you
should cry.
I'm sad that I'm like 29. I'm sad that I'm 29 and
I'm 46
and you're turning 24 and I can't be like, it gets better. Because I'm still so sad.
Honestly?
I can tell you now, it does get better a little. I don't know what her deal is.
Wait. I can't say that.
It gets a little, don't think it gets like great, but it gets like a little better.
I mean, that's very uplifting. I mean this with all my heart. Hearing you say that it doesn't get better is really inspiring to me. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just because I have like a very, like, I just like, honesty is very inspiring in general. Yeah. And so hearing that is like.
For me, I thought When I was younger, I thought it wouldn't last forever. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little disappointing thinking like, oh, I think it's going to be a lifetime thing that I'm going to always have to deal with, whether it's depression or anxiety or anything else that I have been struggling with. But I think that's where the acceptance comes. That's when it gets easier, when you're like, okay, other than thinking it's going to go away, I have to be better at managing it.
I have to get a therapist.
I have to be, if I'm not proactive about taking care of myself, no one else is going to do it for me.
Right.
So that's what I'm 29 and I mean, I'm just starting to look for a therapist for the first time ever. Yeah. I've never had a therapist. I've only ever had psychiatrists that I've forced into being my therapist as far as like me venting to them for an hour.
Can I tell you something that isn't going to be helpful or encouraging?
What?
So I went to see my psychiatrist lately and I just went in within like 20 seconds. I said, I need a therapist. And he's like this old Russian guy. He was like, what insurance do you have? We talked about it for a while. And he was like, yeah, unfortunately, like, the likelihood of you finding a good therapist here on insurance is like not very likely.
But you can
definitely do it. And I don't think that I don't think that he's 100% right. But he was saying like,
but a lot of companies I did look up take PPOs, and I recently got switched to an HMO.
Okay.
So that sucks for me.
But he was like, you know,
you gotta find a sliding scale therapist. I recommend Psychology Today. They're a good therapist.
Psychology Today is like a good database.
Psychology Today, I'll look that up.
But he was like, you know, good therapist. You know, eventually start their own private practice and don't accept insurance. Yeah. And I was like, well, it's a Tuesday morning. I am pumped
and ready for life.
This is devastating.
But that's what I've come across too.
You gotta find a good sliding scale who can go based off your... Yeah. Or if your insurance has a website, you can find people through their websites. They have like a provider, you know, like find a doctor or find a therapist and you can find it that way.
Yeah.
Not that I recommend doing anything when it comes to having to deal with insurance, because if fucking sucks, dude. Healthcare is trash in this country.
It really is. Yeah. We are awful.
But I'm glad that...
I'll be your therapist. You've convinced me. What's wrong, Yoo-Sung?
This whole time, Yoo-Sung has been like on a large reclining couch.
I was the kind of therapist who, after everything that everyone said, I was like,
and then Get out of here!
And then after making that noise, gave great advice.
That was the one hiccup in your whole practice. That you've grown.
Yeah, I just like actively act like an asshole, and then I'm like, okay, so let's really break it down.
Well, Yoo-Sung.
I do hope that you find someone. Because I want to find someone too, and I think I need it's to possible. Find.
I'm also very. I've seen so many psychiatrists because I don't trust a lot of doctors. I'm not very good with trusting a doctor, and I think a lot of them haven't really vibed with me right. And so I think this. I'm just
get a
I'm
puppy.
I'm just not looking. That's like a Band-Aid in my opinion for me. For me, it's not
works for
help.
Me.
But I also have like a small apartment. I'm not going to do that. But
Anna, you're your driving a pen into your
bigger
palm.
Than mine. Don't worry about it, Yoo-Sung.
Okay.
Yeah, your apartment's bigger than mine.
But I just can't. But what
get
I was
get three cats, four, five, whatever. Don't fill the hole.
Sorry. Oh yeah. So I'm just not looking forward to going through like the going through therapists and like meeting someone and finding someone I like dating, and, like, whatever.
It really is like dating.
You're like, so what do you think you could bring to this relationship?
That's a good idea. Like an app for like for a therapist, like that's like swipe up, like swipe centric.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah, because then you have to fuck
million dollar idea.
What if they ask for sex? Oh, that's great way to.
Isn't that just like every Woody Allen movie in an assault?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck that guy. But where can the lovely people of this podcast find you?
Ooh, okay. I don't know why I got so excited.
You're like, it's over.
Is this why you came to do the show?
He's like, it's over. It's over.
You can follow me on Twitter, which is where you can find everything else. I've been writing like some short stories lately, which has been fun.
Perfect.
That you can read.
Writing is writing.
Yeah, writing is writing.
Reading is reading.
My handle is Yusongl.
Yusongl. That's your name.
Yeah.
Yusongl.
Yusongl.
Oh.
Yeah. Tom L.
Yeah. No, Yusongl.
T-H-O-M York. Tom at Tom York.
Thumb Lou. Thumb
at Tom York L.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know you a little bit more.
I'm so happy. We got to spend this time together.
Yeah.
Because usually all we do is email back and forth, like, hey, so can so and so do something?
Yeah.
We're so annoying. Speaking of, I'm going to send you an email.
Please.
About talent. Don't worry about it.
Okay. You can find us at EthnicallyAmb, AMB, on Twitter. EthnicallyAmbig on Instagram.
Instagram!
AMBIG. Where can they find you?
You can find me at Anna Hosnia on Twitter. You guys
Twitter!
And you can find me at ShiroHero666 on Twitter and ShiroHero on Instagram. I think that's all.
I'm delirious.
I mean listen to Worst Case Scenario with Song and Rebecca.
Case scenario.
It's a great
on
pod.
On iTunes, wherever you find pods.
Yeah.
Wherever you find pods.
Mine was in September, The Young Pope. It was really fun.
Please check
the
out.
Carl Jung
the
is Yusong my fucking
Pope.
Boy.
The Yusong Pope.
If you guys... Oh, yeah. But I do... If you guys want to hear about how much I like Carl Jung, then I love that motherfucker.
Carl Jung
is a fucking master, man. Anyway, until next time, stay smutty.
Ew.
What?